And it's called Jesus Comforts His Disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been amongst you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Amen.
Thank you, Ruth. My name is Jay, for those of you who are visiting. I'm proud to be a member of this congregation, and when I can get here from Sydney, I do that with great joy and enthusiasm. And I go to a lot of churches over the years, and I tell you, and I'm a real music guy. I went to see Bach here in Wollongong on Friday night, and I love your music, you guys. Thank you for sharing your gift with us. I'm not saying you're the best, but Elton John couldn't come to Wollongong this time. I spoke to Pastor Barry last night, who's luxuriating in the town of my birth, Townsville, with his whole family, and he's celebrating his son's 50th anniversary, his birthday. Imagine having a child that's 50. Holy tomatoes. Okay, let's take a poll. If you don't have a child who's 50, shut your eyes. If you do have a child that's 50 or over, put your hand up. Don't give me almost. Wonderful, thank you. Oh, pray for us, the rest of you. Okay, now I'm going to, let me say something about the context of this reading, then Barry gives me the text, you see, and then he checks up on the podcast, you know that this is podcast, the sermons, and then he sends me a crib sheet, you know, of corrections, theology, grammar, articulation, gestures, all that sort of stuff. He's a great brother. The context of this reading in Luke 14 is, and John 14 is very important. Jesus is having what we call the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper with his disciples, or apostles, in fact. There are 12 of them, and has been alluded to by Ross, a mixed bag, you know, not all good, not all bad, a bit like us, really. And they're having supper together, and they sat around, a bit like we're sitting here, except they were lying down. I mean, how did people exist before chairs? Have you ever thought about that? So these guys used to lie on each other and sort of lean up against each other and they would take from the table. And so Jesus had John, who wrote this letter and text, on one side, and on the other side he had Judas Iscariot, with whom he spoke. Now, it's a good section of the Bible to read, because this is sort of, how many chapters in the Gospel of John? 21. And so we're on chapter 14, and we're already in the last days of Jesus' life. And what happens, not only is Jesus laying out a celebration that has existed right throughout the world since the time of Jesus, in every culture, in every country, in different ways, in high churches, in low churches, and medium churches like us. That's very important. But what's also important is what happens in that. Now, I'm not going to give you a sermon on 1 to 11 because Thomas is there. I love people who have questions and doubts. I love that because when a person asked, I used to get into trouble a little bit at college for asking questions. Part of it was a strategy to slow the lectures down. You know, you teachers will understand that. If you ask them a question and then he will get sidetracked or she'll get sidetracked, then we're home free. The other thing it does, it prods the rest of us who are sitting there like dummies, pretending we're listening, and we're bored witless some of the time. And what that does is asking a question wakes us up. The other thing is, if somebody's got a question, other people have got the same question. Never be embarrassed about having a question or having some doubts. Be embarrassed if you're too stupid not to ask it. It's an antithesis of that. So here we are, Jesus is with these people. It's a very intimate occasion. He has conversations with Judas, which may surprise you, and in fact shock you if you read it. But Barry asked me to talk about this section here, the Bible verse, and that's on verse 27 of the same chapter, Luke 14. I won't read it from my Bible because it's the Good News Bible. So what do people use here? New International Version. All right. Thank you. Jesus said, now this is in the context of just hanging out. He's not in the pulpit saying, "Peace, I leave with you." Not like Dr. Schuller used to be. What a preacher he was. Jesus is talking to his friends. And it occurred to me this morning coming here, when I missed the turn thinking about Townsville, that every person here this morning is God's friend. Not every person might know that, but that's what Jesus called us. Now, so welcome God's friends, and if you don't know that, have a think about it. It's a wonderful place to be. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid." Or as it says in the King James Version, which I love, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You've heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I." Okay. Last Sunday, we talked about being an outsider, and we talked about the Samaritans and the lepers and the people that most people wanted to throw out, have nothing to do with. And I told you I was shopping at Kmart the day before. Was it Kmart? Yeah. And I said there was a book there, and I, you know, have you ever done that? You see something, you say, really like it. $4. I'm a Capricorn boy. $4. So, darn it, I had a revelation here last Sunday morning, and I promised you I'd go and buy the book, which I did. And I'll show you a bit of that at the moment. But it attracted my attention because it was how to find peace. Throw me up that slide that we've got here, boys. This is magic. See how that? Just flick your finger. Told you computers would work. Those of you who were here last week will know exactly what I mean. And here's, the amazing thing about Jesus, he prods us internally, but we behave externally as well. It's all right having the peace. There's an old chorus when I first started going to church as a teenager. Peace, 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 down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Your husband used to sing it. But I remember, down in my heart. Well, that's a good place for it to start. But it's a bad place to keep it. Because it's not meant for you, just for you. Some of us need to have a peace that... In fact, when I was young and more radical than I am now, it was like yesterday, I had... Somebody gave me a very flash Bible. You know, it was really nice. And then I'd read somewhere this text. So I put in the front of it. I don't mind adding a little bit to the Word of God. So I wrote in the Bible, which some people would regard as a mortal sin. So I wrote in the Bible, may the peace of the Lord disturb you. Right? I don't want to be a passive, taking, sponging kind of guy. Because the faith that God gave me from out of the blue, no religious training at all, has revolutionized my life. In fact, I was talking to Barry yesterday about David Mansell, the minister of Wollongong many years ago, who, as many of you know, put his hand on my shoulder. That was okay in those days. I was 18. We were in Caloundra, and he said, did you ever think, Jay, and we'd been going to camps and stuff for a while, and he was the boss. Did you ever think of serving God in the ministry of Christ? And I said, no. And I thought, I will now. That was the call of God for me. And I've done a lot of mad things in out of context with that. But the context of that is that when you become a Christian and when you want to serve Christ, you find whatever niche, and it often isn't in the ministry. There are many people, some of you, that I've known for, you know, since I was 23 when I came to Dapto Church for a ministry. And you've done amazing things in your careers, but you've done amazing things in ministry. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, the Bible says. So have a look through the Bible and you see the different people, especially in the book of Acts, of people who did things. Anyway, I move from my text. So, this book was one that gives us something to do every day. So it's a crummy little book, but it's $4, but it's not that crummy. But it's a book that every day has these things on it. Not the top thing, that's the thing I put there. Jesus promised to give us a unique peace, not as the world gives. So what does the world give? What is peace in the world? Peace means the absence of irritation. So you come home and you distract yourself by whatever, television, devices. Do not imagine that. Now I know I'm an old guy, so you know, and I'm moving very quickly to be a cranky old guy. I'm becoming aware of that. People tell me that. And it's true. You know, you get irritated with things. You think, you know, so you go out to dinner and this lovely couple at Lee's Fortuna Court, where I love to go with my son many months ago, and I see these three people coming from work. He looks fabulous in his Xenia suit. She's 40-something, wearing Carla Zampatti and the two kids with their private school uniforms. And mum and dad are sitting opposite each other. Out come the computers, work to be done, not small little things, but, and then the kids have their devices. And then they have their Chinese food. And the best thing about that was the food. It made me sad. And my son, who's Michael, 31, you know, he commented on it, and he's a device freak. So you can be distracted, you can be escaping, you can avoid things, you know, like something's difficult and you sort of say, well, I'll procrastinate about that, I'll keep putting it off, and then I won't have to face it. And you think, well, that's peace, isn't it? No, it's not. The darn thing's knocking on your door. Pay attention. Don't run away. Don't retreat. So and so then you get other distractions. You know, alcohol, drugs. We talk about drugs and stuff. And as we used to say when I was running Life Education with Healthy Harold, our attitude to alcohol, when I first was in the Church of Christ, it wasn't exactly a mortal sin. But I used to have a minister friend of mine who had a locked cupboard. So he would have his bottle of sherry. He wasn't drinking, you know, heavy stuff. He had a nip of sherry, but he had it in silence. And that's stupid, dishonest, and sinful. And he wasn't doing it to escape. He did it because he liked the taste. And we would say about alcohol, hey, if you want to drink, drink for taste, not for effect. If we find ourselves withdrawing into things because we think that will take us away from whatever it is that's irritating us or causing dis-ease in our brain or in our heart and our spirit, that's a way of doing it, but it's not moving towards the peace that Jesus is talking about. So the Jesus peace is the peace of knowing God loves you, he sacrificed his life for you, he sent his spirit to live in your life. All of that, by the way, is contained in John chapter 14. If you've got a mind later in the afternoon and you're not watching Wales get flogged by South Africa. Was it Wales that's playing today? Just think about the things that comes out of that. When you have that, you don't just sit there and do what I was talking about before and just sit there like a slug. A spiritual slug. God put us here to serve and to be. So this book, not the Bible, comes back and says, so it's a daily thing. I don't know how many pages. I don't think there were 365 when it was $4, so it's probably 200 pages. But I'm not going to work on it obsessively. I'm not an obsessive person. But I'm going to work on it often because I need to do a... what's a nice word? A review of how I'm going. Well, at 75, you know, I'm still alive, so that's a tick, isn't it? You get to that stage. And then the other things. I had a friend of mine, some of you may have read his work. He's a guy called Peter Daniels. And Peter was a millionaire, and he wanted everybody to know it. But he had a checklist in his wallet. He showed me one day. And on the checklist was seven things. I'm not going to go through the seven, but seven things every day when he went home at night he checked himself out on. Now, there's a bit of compulsion about this that I think, you know, and if you look at other parts of his life, he looked at mine, he'd say, Jay, you should have more compulsion, probably. But he would check them out, including how's his business, how are the shares going, you know, how is his job, how is his work, how is his family, how is his relationship with his wife, and how is his relationship with God. They're good things. But I'd be lying if I said I'd do that consciously every day, but I think we all need to do something consciously every day to reconnect. I actually talk to God every day, very informally sometimes. But the conversation you said last week, Beryl, that prayer is a conversation between two people who love each other. I first read that from a book by Rosalind Rinker when I was still in college. It's a conversation. It's not a shopping list. lovely. Thank you this morning for that. I was lucky enough to meet a guy in California when I worked at the Crystal Cathedral for a while called Juan Carlos Ortiz, Spanish and Hispanic guy. And he said that for most people, prayer is the junk mail of heaven. And what he was getting at is, we're not having a conversation. We're having a lecture or a shopping list. Get this, get that, gimme, 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 wanna, wanna, wanna. Whereas if our relationship with God is a relationship, we've got a friendship happening here. And I'm not one of these people that God speaks to directly, like, hey, Jay, you're making the same mistake you keep making. But there is an awareness in a friendship. You know, if you love somebody and care about somebody, you know, I hate to use the word read people's minds, but you have an awareness of something. That's why God gave us the book. So we'd have a specific reminder of the things that are smart and not so smart, that bless people or blight people. So in this thing, confirming that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, is a gift from God and we have chosen to receive. You may have not chosen that, by the way. If you haven't and you want to, tell me on the way out. I'll be drinking weak black tea at the back door. And say, Jay, I'd like to talk to you or Barry about that. I'm not sure I've got that peace. But if you have, this is what your response to this is, what am I going to let go of? What can I let go of today? I want you to just close your eyes and think about it. Are there things you're hanging on to? And people say, oh, unconfessed sin. Well, that's true. But, gee, if you're hanging on to it for a long time, let it go. As far as the east is from the west, said God, I will remember their sins anymore. So why would you want to hang on to it? And sometimes it takes some effort. Thank you. You can open your eyes. There was an old guy when I went to to help the church at Crow's Nest, which became the Northside Community Church. We closed the church. There was an old elder there, had been at this little church for, well, he was about 90, so about 75 years. And he was just very successful in business, calm, straight, deep person. And I said to him one day, his name was Harry, by the way. I don't know anybody that ever called him Harry. You know, there are people like that. It was just Mr. Palmer. People who knew him for 60 years called him Mr. Palmer. So that's what I call him. I said, Mr. Palmer, what is your secret, if you've got a secret? He'd widowed, his wife died in the 60s. And he said, Jay, I don't know. But there's one thing I do. When I shut the door, I shut the door. Whew. Could I preach a sermon about that? And the sermon was the question, how many doors have we left open that should be closed? So on a daily basis, what will I let go of? I'll, you know, put my hand up. And sometimes you say you do and you don't. My grandmother, my Irish grandmother, used to talk about the gunners of the world. I thought, what's gunners, Grandma? They're going to do this, they're going to do that, they're going to do something else. There are things we want to do when we find it very hard. In AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, they have a fabulous expression. It's called let go and let God. Stop trying to control everything and think you can fix it, because you can't. And in my life, I have a 50-year-old daughter, so I had my hand up, who's been estranged from me for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, and then before that, before that, before that. My responsibility is not even responsibility. I want to love her, and I do. And I reach out to her, and I do. And when she doesn't reach back, I need to let her do that. And give that to God. He's taken a damn long time to fix it, by the way. I need to confess that up front. Is there a day goes past that I don't think about that? No. My daughter, by the way, was born at Wollongong Hospital. So there are things that, you know, and do I have peace? Yeah, I have peace. The peace that passes all understanding. Would I like some things fixed? Yes, I would. In the meantime, I'm not going to let that dominate, drive, or distract my life with God and his people, and God and the people he wants to be his people. So learn to let something go. And I hope you've thought of something. It might be much less demanding. It might be a mistake you made many years ago. Let it go. It's amazing how many people carry guilt about sins that they committed against other people. And the other people couldn't give a toss. And the only person being hurt from that, we wish they'd get hurt. You know, why doesn't God punish those people that hurt us? Well, I don't know. I'll ask him. And when I do, it won't be important. So, let it go. It would help if I didn't walk in front of the screen all the time. And then make a list of things you're grateful for. You know, now, sometimes, Diana and I were talking about this the day before yesterday, and your list could be a mile long. We understand that. But on a daily basis, you know, we talked about this a bit last week. We are so blessed, and we have so much to be thankful for. And the Americans use this expression, which is a bit corny, but it works, to have an attitude of gratitude. I've been in America. My father was American. I lived there. I'm an American citizen. I lived there for a few years, and they had this Thanksgiving thing. Now, a bit like Christmas, they've forgotten about what Thanksgiving was about, because they started as a Christian and a religious, spiritual place. Australia started as a penal colony, which has something to do with the cultures of the two places. But the Thanksgiving thing is pretty darn good. We don't have to do it nationally. But gee, it's liberating to do it personally. Because sometimes, you know, I mean, even down here in Wollongong the other day, I thought to myself, I lived down here, I lived Kanahooka Road, the beautiful church building, thank you to the steelworks. I don't think they knew it was being built, but that's not the point. Some of their material was used. And then I looked at the mountain, coming back around, and I thought, I was here 4 years. I hardly ever went up to the mountains. Lake Illawarra was at the end of my street. I would have gone there twice. I played hockey with the boys every weekend. We won a premiership 1 year. And I hardly ever went to the beach. I thought about this the day before yesterday. I had a meeting with a guy down there on the beach at North Beach, and I'm standing there thinking, the beach, the mountains, how good is this? And I was talking to a guy who I carelessly described as a Lebo, but he thought it was funny, thank goodness, because he has cousins. and he's been here since he was little. So I said, have you migrated to Wollongong? I thought that was funny too. But he came here when he was 11. We had a great talk. And I'm thinking, he's a posh Lebanese developer. He works at the steelworks cleaning machinery. And he loves it. He doesn't want to be a psychiatrist or a famous developer. And he was, and we took football. We just had a great time. And I tell you what, it was a bit of a wake-up call to me. Talk about stop and smell the roses. Stop and look around at what you've got. And if you're struggling, as a lot of us are, with a few health issues, you know, David Mansell, who many of you know, was one of the godfathers of the church and had a great influence on Barry's ministry and mine. I talked to some of his relatives this week because he wants me to do his funeral, right? So he's 89, and the way he's going, he'll be doing mine. he's on dialysis. Everybody wants him to die, except him. Stubborn old so-and-so that he is. And, you know, here's a guy who is on the machine. It's not working. He's not working. He's throwing up. He's being a pain in the neck to the staff and demanding. David Mansell being demanding? I can't believe that. And he wants to live. He's got things to do. Ooh. So, if you're not ready, don't quit. If you aren't ready, if you are ready and God isn't taken, don't whinge. I have a dear friend from the Northside Church, Peg Cameron, and I buried her mother and her husband. Her husband was going to work one morning at 62 and dropped dead getting out of his car. Married and baptized one of the kids, and she's now in Brisbane. How old is Peg? 94. Fit as a fiddle. You know, she forgets to answer the phone and things like that, but an amazing, vibrant person. And she wants to be with Ian. And I have to say to her, Peg, Ian's dead. He's been dead for 20 years. You're a different person. Well, why is God keeping me alive? I said, because you're fit and you're well and you provide blessing and inspiration to a lot of people you don't even know about. And some of that has to do with giving thanks. And here's the nice thing. You don't have to know you're a blessing to people's life. It'd be nice if they told you occasionally, but I wouldn't be hanging out for expecting, especially if you've got children. Especially if you've got 50-year-old children, 45-year-old children, 31-year-old children. You know, that's just that. When I'm doing talkback radio over the years, you know, it's amazing how many people late at night might have had a few shandies, and they ring up about how bad their kids are, they never call them. My mother used to say, oh, you found my phone number, did you? Huh? Silly old bag. And she thought, here's the thing, we think coming back on top of people and giving them a short jab is going to make them more attentive and call us more often. Why would you want to call somebody who said that to you? So, thankfulness. And the last thing is focus. Now, I've spoken to teenage kids who are unfocused. And I'm a great disciple or learner of a guy called Dr. Jordan Peterson, psychologist, sociologist, who's in all sorts of trouble because he wants people to have a freedom of expression of thought. And so he says when he's dealing with his students in psychology and they're saying, Dr. Peterson, we want to go out and we want to change the world, we want to do this, we want to rebel, we want to do this. And he looks him in the eye and says, did you make your bed this morning? Did you focus on something that's important? Or you want to be distracted by things that won't cost you time or whatever? So my friends, what I want us to do today is just take this piece of Jesus. It does pass all understanding. It is different. And those of you who've been in much tougher places than I have will know the veracity of that and how important it is. It's a resource within you. And it's kind of funny. One of the things Jesus said in that reading that we had earlier is, it will be better for you when I'm not here. And I can imagine the sleepy old disciples who may have had a few Shandys themselves at this stage during the dinner would have said, what is he talking about? In fact, it's quite clear that most of them, all of them, didn't know what he was talking about most of the time on this occasion, because they didn't think he would die for them. They didn't know this was part of God's fabulous plan to change them and the world. So, take these things today. Use one or two of these things. Even the thing about coming and looking and evaluating your life and doing a bit of a score. And how am I going today? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to be thankful for? And I'm talking to people, many of you give thanks like that all the time. Some of us haven't even done that much. And one of the things I find about having a thankful heart is not only does it change you, it changes people. You look people in the eyes. I was talking to Barry about this the other day. His daughter was shot, as you know, as a policewoman. And since then, every time I pass a cop or a service person or a person in responses, I say, thanks for looking after us. Now, you could kill somebody by thanking them, because they're not used to it. But if you've got the